I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about hope. And, you know, it's something to think about. In one place, I believe Paul was speaking, he says, hope that is seen is not hope. So, I walk out the door every morning and I see my driveway. Therefore, I know my driveway's there. And I'm reminded every single morning, but when I walk out every morning, I see my driveway. I don't necessarily see the goal of my life. I don't necessarily walk out the door and see heaven every day, because that is my goal. Everything in life I'm living for, I love my Lord, I love what He's done for me, and I recognize that the goal of everything He did was to bring me home to be with Him one day. Yeah. And so it's going to take something more than just waking up in the morning every morning to remember what I'm living for. And so today, that's the burden that God has given me a little bit. And I would ask you a question is, how's your vision of heaven? Are you reminding yourself that there's a reason why you're living the way you're living? That there's a purpose behind it beyond the benefits of this life? Because there are many that God gives us. Peace, joy, and trial, strength. He is with us day by day. As that song said, every moment of every single day, the Lord is with us. There is not a time where He is not able to be called upon and depended upon in my life. Thank the Lord. And all of that is because He has a reason. And as that song finished up there, and I may not get the words quite right, but it says, how's the last verse go? Can somebody read that last verse for me?
Here. This is going to get you. Thank you.
But I can get the part I really want to get to in it, but I couldn't lead up to it. So it says in the third verse, it says, help me then in every tribulation, so to trust Thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within Thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble me, ere to take from my father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting. And the whole song has been coming to this point, talking about what God does for us, how He's there for us, bringing us down to the very last phrase, till I reach the promised land. I would live for God if it was just about what He did for me in this life. Now that I have experienced it, now I've seen it, I'm not just saying that. He is worth giving up this world to choose His way. Absolutely. 99% of the song talks about that and why it's such a worthy decision to make. But it all comes down to that last phrase, till I reach the promised land. The goal I have, and the goal is heaven. Yes. You know, it's such a joy to consider. I'm going to say what the Lord has. As I think about my loved ones, there's a song I love that these words, when I start saying that, it starts coming to mind. And it's a song I love. But when I think about my loved ones who I have known in my life, and now they're not here with me, I miss them. We can talk about that. But there's another side to this equation entirely. I remember when my Uncle Stan passed away, in the song, Shouting in Heaven, it just kept rolling over my mind. I thought, he's so happy. He's so glad to be there. I could just almost see him running over the hills, shouting. I don't know that he's doing that, but you know, just a visual image of him shouting. Why? Because, I mean, it's been a good life, but look where I am now.
Yes.
Look where I am. That's what I see for him. As I think about him, as I kind of stop thinking about me for a moment, and I just think about him, I see that, and I don't know exactly what he's doing, but I think that's a pretty good indicator of how he feels today, if I could see. And there's other ones, obviously, that I could go on about, and as the Lord brought this message, Lord, really? Right now? But this is what He gave me. And it's because there is a joy in knowing that they've accomplished, that they've reached that goal.
Yes.
And what it does for me, yeah, I miss them, but it does something else for me. I'm like, I want to go too. I don't want to walk out my door tomorrow and just see a driveway. I want to walk up my door, see the driveway. I want to stay on the driveway. But I want to know there's something bigger in my life than driving down this driveway to this road, to this nursing home where I work, as much as I love it, as much as I enjoy it every day. And coming home to my family again in the evening, I want to know there's something more.
Yes.
And there is. I don't want to just pretend. That's part of the message. We're not trying to pretend anything. I have no desire to pretend and try to feel better because I pretended there's something else. There, we know. We have an assurance. This morning, and I want to get to some verses, but and I may be getting a little ahead of myself, but as I do that, I want to bring us back to something we talked about before. Because we're talking about hope this morning. And hope is a real thing. And I've had a burden sometimes that there's little things happening in society that we don't realize sometimes that every one of those little things has a little effect. And it's not for the better. The devil's not like trying to have his own mountain of success or something all the time. He's looking for any little way he can just kind of drag it down a little bit. He'll take the big successes, but he'll take the little ones too. And you know, this word hope is one of the little successes in our life today that the Satan has had in the world today, is what I'm saying. All right? And it goes back, you know, there was a time where when these words were defined and what they meant, that there's a distinct difference between hope and wish. It's not, and we blended them. And even after even after the Lord brought me this thought, I would say, well, I'm hoping and wishing. Well, which one are you? Because you're not doing both. They're two different things. By definition, I'm not just trying this morning to have some way to line stuff up and so it agrees with my message. By definition, they're two different things. A wish has no basis in reality. No basis in reality. This morning, if we're wishing for heaven, that's not, there's no good in that. All right? But a hope has a contingency to it.
Yes.
And a hope, there is confidence that what I am looking to see happen will happen in life. I'm hoping in something. In other words, for me to take on any of you guys, other guys' job here, I could pick anybody. To take it on with no time to even sit down and say, okay, what do you do? Why do you do this? Okay, no education. Just today, walk out this door and decide I'm going to be your job or your job or your job. That's wishing that I'm going to be as successful as you are at it. That's what, because there's no basis in reality. I don't know what I need to know to do the job like you do it. Experience, knowledge, I don't. Period. That's wishing. Now, if I gave myself to all the study and all the experience that you've had, there's some hope there that maybe someday I'll be on some kind of level that I can do maybe the job you're doing, like somewhat like you're doing it. There's talent too. All right? There's people who are fit to do certain things. But you see the difference. It's just as clear as that.
Yes.
To go into a test and have not looked at any of the information and be sitting there looking to get a good grade, that's called wishing.
Yes.
But to spend some time studying and to pay attention in class, well, there's some hope there that I'm going to come home with a good grade. Why? Because I'm invested in reality. There's a reality behind my hope. So how is your vision of heaven this morning? Let's look over in Romans 8 chapter. So Romans 8, and let's drop down to the 18th verse. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," and I do think that we can apply this to the struggles we go through, the bad things in life. But I think it's very possible that Paul's just talking about life right here more than really hard times in life. I reckon that this time I'm here is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I love my life. I love what God's done. And it's part of what spurs me, because the knowledge that he's got something even better than this fills me with the hope that I'm like, and why do I know that? Because he lived and died and he told me. See, I'm not just thinking, okay, well, maybe it'll be better. Yeah, it's going to be better than this. No, the Lord told me that he was creating a new heavens and a new earth. I'm not just out here wishing on something. I have a hope. All right? And so it says this life. So as I see how much I enjoy the things God gives me in this life, the times he's with me and what it does for me, even through the hard times and through the good times, and how good it is to walk with God, how good of God to be so good to me. Another song we sing. How good of him to be so good to me. And he told me that he's got something better. Well, if this is who he is and this is who he is, well, then that means that he's got something. He really does. That I'm not sitting there thinking, well, what's it going to be like? I'm like, well, it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's okay to use the words you understand.
Yes.
You know, that's a word I understand. I grew up with that word. You might have a different one. But to me, when you said something was awesome, you took it to the top level. This is a good level. This is great. This is wonderful. And I want to say it's awesome sometimes, but the Lord said there's something better, so I've got to say that word for that. All right? So there is something awesome. There is something beyond my imagination. That it's there. And if I walk with the Lord, I'm going to get to be there. And you know what? Everyone who did it, that's where they are. How can I not be happy when I think about them and what they've accomplished the goal, and they're there now. And then one day I'm going to be there too, by the help of the Lord, by the grace of the Lord, whatever else. He has to do a lot in my life, so I'm going to give him all the glory for that. But because of that, one day I'm going to be there because I love him and I want to serve him. I want to live for him. I want when he tells me, Brandon, you're just not acting like you ought to act right now. I said, Lord, help me. Help me to act like you want me to act, because I want your help in my life. I want your grace in my life. I want to make it home. I want to see that thing you say is better than what I have. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. We could say, God put us here. Lord, why didn't you just put us there? Well, the Lord knows why he didn't put us there. We're not there. Okay? Here's where we are. So we just got to accept that reality, too. Once again, don't live your life wishing. Live in reality. But he was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by the same reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So whatever reason the Lord said, y'all are going to live here for a while, and then you're going to get to go there. He didn't leave me hopeless. He put me here with the hope. What? Now, I can't think of all the reasons, and I don't know all the reasons, but if he gave me this kind of a hope, then there's got to be something wrapped up in it that he wants me to remember it, and he wants me to share it. I mean, there may be a lot of other reasons too, but I've got to think that that's wrapped up somewhere in there, that I need to remember this hope when I walk out in the morning, when I go through my day, that I need to defend it. Not because it has to be defended, and if I don't defend it, it's going to vanish, but I need to defend it in my own mind and in my own heart. Keep with diligence those things that God has given me, because that's where the issues of life come out of. It's these things he's given us that we want to protect and remember, so that we can base our lives in reality. We can live in reality. There's people who don't have this hope. You know what? And in their minds, it just all ends. Well, that's not reality. Okay? This life ends, but there's something past it. And there's two options. And the Lord's given me a hope that I don't even have to worry about the other one. If I love him and I live for him and I let him have his way in my life, then I can just go to heaven one day. That can be the end of my life. Mark the perfect man, because the end of that man's peace. Oh, thank the Lord. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by the same reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. All right, y'all. All right, let's not pass over some words here. Let's not miss what's being said to us. This it shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. But the Lord's delivering, the Lord saved me. That sinful corruption, the Lord has given me deliverance from that. But I sure don't play basketball like I used to. I sure don't walk and throw logs like I used to. I thought I ever maybe threw them just incredibly, but I don't throw them like I used to. I don't do any of the things I used to do physically like I used to do them. They're all coming, you know, anyway, I don't even want to talk about it much more, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, that's what happens in this life. And, you know, because there's also this bondage of corruption, the whole world hasn't been delivered from the spiritual side of that. And God has decreed that I walk out there and I live in the middle of it every day. And sometimes I'm like, how do I even get across? I don't even know what to say. I thank God that in the end He just calls us to walk with Him and leave that all up to Him. Because it's just a wonder at what goes on out there and what people think is life and reality. So, knowing that be delivered from this bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh, there's a freedom in this world, but there is a freedom to come. Where it won't ever touch our lives again. There won't be ever an opportunity for me to fall in any way. Or for me to have to rub shoulders with things and try to, just live amongst them and try to figure out how to be what God wants me to be in that place. I can just be who God wants me to be freely. I don't have, there's a measure. We have to be careful what we say. The Lord's called us to speak the truth. But to speak the truth in love. And there are times where if I just said the absolute truth to somebody just completely in a moment, I don't mean that you lie. I mean you hold some things back sometimes. Because God puts a check on us and says, this isn't, I remember one person saying, he wanted to say something to somebody about truth and what truth was, and he felt the Lord even say almost audibly to him, they aren't ready for it yet. Don't say it.
Right.
And he said it. And there were some bad results from that. You know what? When we get to glory, if you want to share the truth, you can shout it as loud as you want to. You don't have to worry about the effect on anybody around you, okay? You can just tell how good God is and all He ever did in your life, and you don't have to worry about offending somebody and truly offending somebody. Truly hurt, saying it maybe in the way that God didn't really want you to say it that way. You just shout it loud and clear. And I encourage you, don't misunderstand my message. You can share the truth. You live your life. But Lord help us, there's a freedom in heaven. There's a liberty in heaven. There's something waiting for us that's better than this life. And thank the Lord for that. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is the burden. This is wow. How is your vision of heaven? How is your hope this morning? Are you living in reality? Do you remind yourself as you go out tomorrow, as you go out each day, are you just seeing the driveway? Or do you see where the Lord is taking you? Do you see the goal, the end of your life? And look, physically the driveway, yes, but just so to speak, in a mindset in your life, are you just seeing the driveway? Are you just seeing just the day-to-day that you're going through? That's good. If you're going through it with the Lord, it's good. But are you seeing where it's all ending up? The whole song, that last phrase. Till I reach the promised land, that it's all these things that are happening are so the Lord can get you home to where He wants you to be forever. That's what it's all about. Lord, thank the Lord. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Oh, thank the Lord. I want to get us all out of our songbook number 23. We'll look at that a little bit, but I want to give you a little quote here. A plant without water and hope without vision, neither one can survive. Just remember that. A plant without water and hope without vision, neither one can survive. Psalm 23. Song 23. All right. The first verse is about reality. It says, I have a hope serene and sure. I am not wishing this morning, and I am not trying to get you to wish. I'm telling you there is a hope you can have in something that is sure and that is actually reality. When people die, they go one or two places. Through Christ, we have a hope this morning of going to a place called heaven. All right? I have a hope serene and sure that anchors past the veil. It's over there where I can't see. I have it because the Lord told me about it. And he's proved himself. He came and lived the life. He spoke it while he was here. He confirmed his word. He continues to confirm his word in my life as I read his word. And I see that he is able to work that in my life as I allow him to. He's able to do a work in my life. Then I have an even deeper assurance that there is a place beyond the veil. A hope that anchors beyond the veil. In all the storms, it holds secure. Nor will it ever fail. I have a hope. And the second verse here is, to me, it's about being goal-oriented. All right, let's look at it and see here. It says, I have a hope that looks away. All right, there's a little bit of that. If we're going to hold on to our hope, you cannot get mired in what's just happening day to day in your life, especially in this world we're living in today. You have got to learn how, in the middle of walking through it, to just look away, to keep your eyes up. You know, do we have any examples of that? Peter, that's an example of for us there to apply to our lives. Peter had to look away from the waves, had to look at Jesus, had to keep his eyes on that in the midst of walking through those stormy waves, all right, in order to do what he needed to do. I have a hope that looks away from present woes and tears to what? I mean, just, okay, it's not there. Y'all heard the story about me and the cockroach, right? Some of you haven't, so real quick, I relate it. I was deathly afraid of cockroaches when I was a boy. And here's how I solved the problem. If I saw one in my room, perchance, we didn't have very many. My mom's sitting here. We kept a clean house. If you live in Louisiana, you're going to see one every once in a while. All right, so if I happened to see one in my room, here's how I dealt with it. I didn't look at it. You know what, that, a side note about fears we can do sometimes. That's how crazy fears are and how why we don't need to let them govern our lives because they're not based. They're just not the way they ought to be. But anyways, I would look away from it. To what? To nothing. I just looked away. All right. That's not what we're doing this morning. We're not looking away just to ignore what's there. We're looking away to what? It says, to heaven's bright eternal day till sorrow disappears. I have a hope, Sheree. I'm going to read it again. I have a hope that looks away from present woes and fears to heaven's bright eternal day till sorrow disappears. I've got to be goal-oriented. I've got to learn how to look away from this life as I walk through it and keep my eyes on the goal, on where the Lord's taking me in life. All right? Third verse. All right? This third verse is about that. And then it's an anchor in something that's reality. And I learned to look away from this life as I walk through it, not to get mired in it, not to let it drag me down. Then I come to the third thing. It's determination. It's how I'm going to live my life. This is it. I'm anchored. I'm learning to look away and keep my eyes on it. And that's how it's going to be. That's how I'm going to live my life. It says, I have a hope that doth not fear. The silent grave is you. Nay, doth not shrink, though death appear, for I shall live anew. Of all the things that mires people down, death is probably the thing people run from the most in this life in so many ways. But we don't have to fear it. We don't have to be afraid of it. We can anchor, we can keep our eyes on it, and as we approach that end, we can approach it There are hard places people walk through in those times, but there can be a joy in the midst of. There can be an assurance in the midst of that I'm going to leave my anchor over there. I'm not going to pull it back in these last moments. As I approach this time, I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to go all the way through to the moment the Lord takes me past that veil and I'm with him forever. My anchor is going to stay there. My eyes are going to stay on him until he brings me home. Until that promised land, until I reach that promised land, my hope is born of God's own word. This is reality. God has proven this to me. He said it himself, Jesus did when he was here. My hope is born of God's own word, and it's nourished by his grace. Lord, I put my hope in you. I look to heaven, and Lord, I've got things that want to bring me down, but Lord, I find as I keep my eyes on you that there's a strength that I don't have. There's a grace I don't have. Remember grace. Grace is not just mercy. Okay? Grace is the presence. Again, this is one place that the world has pulled. Satan has managed to pull something back from people who would serve God by muddying the waters about what grace is. By definition, the word, Greek word translated as grace means the presence of God shining into a life and its reflection being seen. So it's not just the Lord looking on us. It's him sending his presence to our life and it doing a work that is actually reflected out of our life.
Yes.
And so he's proven it to me by his grace as well. His word, his grace, his promise true, my soul hath heard, and hope beholds his face. We have some other verses this morning about heaven that we want to just read through. But let's go ahead and do that. Acts 1. Acts 1, and we'll start with the sixth verse. And these are some of our brothers in Christ. Some who got a hold of who Christ was, believed in him. He changed their lives, and they spent their lives living for him, with their eyes on the goal. And so they're here in this moment, and it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Once again, there's a lot of things we don't understand. There was things they didn't understand. But they were looking to the one who did. They had put their faith in him. He said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. How? Just keeping your eyes on me. Don't get mired in this world. You walk through it, you keep your eyes on me, you'll be a witness. And then it says, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Who do you think they were? You know, we have brothers and sisters. There's a whole host of angels. And
yes.
Walking with, this is reality.
Yes.
This is what reality is. There's not anything that can tear you back. The Lord has all he needs to keep you in this life. Don't get discouraged. Don't get mired down by what you see around you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And as they were looking up, these two men in white apparel came down, and they, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Well, because that's where he went. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, I'm not wishing for something. Look, they're talking about it right here. All right? Taken up into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. All right, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll turn to the 50th verse. And I want so much in reading this for us to just think about that day and to think about the reality and to get our eyes pulled up out of the mire a little bit this morning and to keep them on that, keep our hope sure. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. First Thessalonians 4 and 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, others that have no hope. You know what? We miss people, but we know we have a hope that is sure. We're not wishing that they're in. See, I almost did it right there. We're not wishing they're in a better place. Those that have loved the Lord and have lived for Him and have been faithful to Him, we have a hope, an assurance. All right? And so it says that we don't sorrow even as those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Oh, what a glad reunion day. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and with the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank the Lord. We have a hope that is serene and sure,
yes,
that anchors Lord, past the veil. 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter, and the 18th verse. And I want to read these now. We read those verses about that day. Now I want to read these verses and I want to tell you to hope in God, to hope in Jesus. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You know, we all lived a hopeless life at one point. And he's specifically speaking to the things man came up with that somehow gave him a wish for something else. We haven't been redeemed by strengthless things. We haven't been redeemed by things that have no power. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Look, y'all understand the spirit in which I'm saying this. I wouldn't tell you I was anything special. The Lord just did. Every one of you this morning, the Lord just told you, you're something special. He didn't send some trinkets down here to buy you back somehow. He sent His Son, Jesus. Yes. And Jesus shed His blood to buy you, to purchase you. For the express rate that you would be His. That you would have this hope. That you could sit here this morning and have an assurance in your heart. I have no idea what this life's going to bring, but I know where it all ends. I know what the Lord has for me, and I know I can keep my eyes on Him, and He'll safely help me reach that goal. All right? It says, you haven't been redeemed by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ.
Thank the Lord.
Oh, there's so much there. Maybe we talk about it more, but every one of us have had people that told us wonderful things about the Lord. And that's been a blessing in our life. But it's something even more precious than that, that purchased us. God didn't say, well, because you had that teaching, you're just responsible and you're going to just have to live up to that. He sent that blood for you too, to purchase you for His kingdom and for heaven. All right? The precious blood of Christ is of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. who by him do believe in him, in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Don't get mired down. There is a God in heaven, and he created it for you. In fact, we're fixing to read some verses about that. We read them last week, I think. We're going to read them again. But he created it for you to be with him forever. You can't be there like you are, but he gave you the blood of Jesus so you can have an assurance and have a hope and not just wish there was something else, but you could hope and know that he had a place for you. Why? Because this all happened. And we see it written. We hear of it happening. And then we can experience in our life as well the graces of God. And all those things help build our assurance. But we still have to remember and see the end and keep our eyes and keep that vision sure in our life. All right? So it says in John 14. Let's finish up there. John 14 and 1. And this is, we're just going to read these verses and let them just sink in. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. These are Jesus' words to us. He spoke these on earth. This man who told no lie, who demonstrated himself clearly to be the Son of God, that he was who he said he was, who lived the life and spent time, and we recorded all the things he said and done. He told us about heaven, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I have a hope, serene and sure, that anchors past the veil. In all the storms it holds secure, nor will it ever fail. Lord bless you.